Let's go to Ukraine and check in with Joseph Lindsley. Joe, what's on my mind and a lot of minds today? North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Putin getting together. What are your thoughts and what are you hearing about that?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And I think, you know, if you look at, you know, how global alliances war before Russia's full-scale invasion, before February 24th, 2022, you know, Russia was attending meetings of the G7, for example, and the G20. And now they're looking, you know, going to the arms of North Korea, a nation where people live in starvation and total totalitarianism. So in one sense, you could see that as perhaps desperation. But of course, the flip side of that is you have another evil regime that does have some serious weapons. And so, you know, it maybe again, as we, you know, maybe it's the in the desperation, we also will see perhaps some craziness, some very intense acts from Moscow. And so I think it's nothing to be surprised about. And in fact, it could be a sign of encouragement that you know, that's to whom Russia has to turn. We always have to keep an eye on China. And I think almost every expert with whom I speak, you know, says Russia needs Beijing. And Beijing does not want Russia to go nuclear. They don't want them to do anything crazy because that would make the world much more difficult for China, which is actually, you know, in a pretty good situation right now. So it's something to keep an eye on. But meanwhile, we had once again through the hours, the wee hours of the night, once again, that dance macabre of Russian missiles flying to and fro throughout Ukraine, frequently changing course, turning toward here in the west, toward Lviv, and then back to Kyiv. Set off a cascade of nationwide air alerts. And at about 1:30 in the morning, we had reports of three groups of these suicide drones over the Black Sea. We also had reports that Russian bombers had taken off from various bases within the Russian Federation, and that the Russian surface missile carrier, the Admiral Essen, had entered the waters of the Black Sea with a total salvo of 8 missiles. And so we knew something was coming. In the end, it was about 33 missiles and drones that the Russians sent to Ukraine. Air defense, the Ukrainian air defense shot down all 7 cruise missiles, including a few that were headed toward Kyiv. One ballistic Iskander missile was intercepted, and only 15 of the 25 Shahid Iranian suicide drones were intercepted. Most of those drones were targeted toward the Odessa region and to the micro region called Bessarabia, which is a very fertile region on the Danube River, and the southernmost Ukrainian city in that region is called Izmail. It's a port on the Danube River, and the Russians have been, you know, since they ended the grain deal allowing Ukrainians to export through the Black Sea, they have been heavily targeting this region, Ukrainians' Danube River ports. And so it was about a 3-hour attack on that small region. And what's really sort of, you know, perhaps, you know, I mean, it's all scary, but, you know, the Danube River, that town of Izmail and the ports there are just about 3 football fields away from the country of Romania, which is a NATO member, a member of the European Union. In fact, there was another such attack just a few days ago in the early hours of September 4th in the same place. And according to open source intelligence experts, you know, many sort of veterans and war watchers, there's good information that they were able to geolocate that at least one of the Russian suicide drones hit Romanian soil. The Romanian Foreign Ministry has denied this. You can imagine if they didn't deny it, there would have to be a swift action because it's NATO territory. But as the Russians pound this region of Bessarabia and that port city of Izmail, they are extremely close to hitting NATO territory. And perhaps they already have.
Didn't Romania's defense minister confirm that parts of that Russian drone did fall on Romanian territory?
What I saw is that they said if that they were using some wiggle words in describing what happened, but they said that nothing in Romania was under threat, is how they put it. And so they were trying to say that they don't feel that Romania was targeted, which certainly, you know, doesn't seem like Russia would target Romania. But it is, you know, so extremely close to, I mean, people in Romania across the river could hear, you know, the sounds of war. And so this is it's a risky thing, you could say. I mean, all this is a risk, but a risky thing for the Russians to be pounding so heavily that area. But what they're trying to do, because since that grain deal ended, the only method for ships to go from Ukraine is through the Danube River, and they need those ports at Izmail. And the Russians are doing everything they can to destroy it. The Russians are claiming that they're also stopping weapons from moving. And so this has been a focus the past couple months for Russia. Meanwhile, we had the listener yesterday had the question about the Abrams tanks.
Mm-hmm.
The Abrams tanks have not arrived yet from the U.S. It's expected that up to 32 will arrive this month, which is, you know, if you think about, like, I mean, the counteroffensive has been going on through the summer, you know, especially since May in the fields of Zaporizhia. And Donbass and Kherson, and you know, all this pressure has been put on Ukraine. Almost everyone with whom I speak from Washington has said that Ukraine had to really prove itself by the end of August, you know, by now, and have something extraordinary. So, you know, why, if those standards were placed on Ukraine, why is it that these tanks that, which, you know, Americans believe can make such a big difference? I mean, it's, you know, sort of the piece de resistance of American ground warfare. Why would these arrive now? You know, not even now, in several weeks from now. Why would they not have been here before the counteroffensive? And I think it's a question that should be seriously asked of people in Washington.
Let me close by sharing an email with you, Joseph. This came from John in Chicago. I applaud both you and Joseph for your journalistic approach to situations. The reporting both you and Joseph do is honest and pure journalism at its best. Also, my wife, daughter, and I visited downtown Chicago. We went to a display at 410 North Michigan Avenue in the Wrigley Building. Maybe you have already mentioned this. I don't know. But it's a nice place to relax, have a cup of coffee, taste some Ukrainian food, and learn about Ukraine. I'll have to check that out myself. And Joe, I can't wait for the war to be over and for you to come to Chicago, and I'll take you to breakfast at Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood in one of the places we have here.
I look forward to that very much. As you think about the war being over, tomorrow, September 7th, is the anniversary of when the Polish governing authorities in Lviv in 1939 began to prepare the city for defense against the Nazis and the Soviets. And so, you know, the war to be over, but then the war comes back through time and time again. But
yeah,
here's to some day of victory.
Mm. Yeah, history repeating itself. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Bob, until tomorrow. Thank you.